This is your station, 88.9 KETR. My name is Jared Knight, and I'm joined on this Thursday morning, as we are here at KETR each and every Thursday morning, by Mr. Bob Akin. Sir, how are you?
It's the first Thursday in spring.
That's right. We are ready for Thursday. We're ready for spring. Gosh, winter, huh?
I mean, hey, I think Jimmy Buffett had a song about this one time, about missing it. I think the best thing that we can say is that, hey, it's now the second weekend of the NCAA basketball tournament starting tonight.
That's right.
Which we'll get to in a moment after we get a few housekeeping things out of the way.
But first, we must break some things down.
But first, why don't we break down? If somebody had been in a time capsule or a coma for 50 years and were revived, one of the, not just rule, just a basic fact of life that they had grown up with was that there was a religious cleavage in American society and politics that wasn't going away anytime soon. What, of course, has happened has been that after the election of President Kennedy, an awful lot of the dismantling of institutional anti-Catholic prejudice began to wither away, with some, among other things, executive orders against religious discrimination in federal contracting and hiring, which spread to every defense contractor, which was every major corporation. And all of a sudden, we began to see a very different composition of the executive class in America. The result has been that in the last 3 years, last 30 years, the Catholic quarter of the population has become the most typically American voting segment when you look at anything, whether it's based on religion, class, region, going back at least to the Ronald Reagan elections, that there has been a consistent pattern that as the Catholic quarter of the population goes, so goes the election. And in fact, they will be slightly in favor of the winner. When Obama got 53% nationwide, Catholic voters gave him 54%, instance. Same thing with Bush 4 years earlier. Tim Egan, who writes for the New York Times, had a very interesting piece the other day that showed, and I called up online, because the title of it was Common Sense Catholics.
Right.
Showing that the hardcore base of Rick Santorum has not been his fellow Catholics. Again, something that would make the head spin of the guy who just walked out of the time capsule. His hardcore base had been evangelical Protestants.
Right.
That consistently, Catholics account for a little over a quarter, maybe 30% of the Republican primary electorate. They have voted consistently for Mitt Romney against Rick Santorum. Romney the Mormon, Romney the country club guy, who they were having none of what's been described as the 13th century Catholicism of Santorum.
Well, I feel like we need to keep an eye on the Catholics to see how this
is going. Well, you go find your five best Catholic friends and find out what they're thinking about October 15th, and you can probably get a pretty good indication. Ask what they did 4 years ago.
Right.
But we'll see about that.
Well, we better spend the last couple minutes here on.
Let's watch the Final Four next week. But to get to the Final Four, you got to get through the Sweet 16 this week.
That's true.
And some things stand out. I don't have to tell you, and I don't think you do either, who's going to be the players to watch and what. They've got talking heads on Turner and on CBS as well as on ESPN.
Sure.
He'll tell you more than you ever want to know about that.
That's true.
There are a couple of things put in context, though, I'd like as we close on. Let's say that of the 16 teams who are in the aptly titled Sweet 16.
The Saccharine 16.
The Saccharine 16. Among them, they have won this tournament 34 times.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, three of them account for exactly half of that. Kentucky, Indiana, North Carolina, between them have won 17 national titles.
Right.
As you look, this is going to be tonight. Ohio State's playing Cincinnati. They both won national championships, but it was back in the early 60s. And the last two times, the only two times Cincinnati's ever won, they beat Ohio State in the finals, which is also the last times, I think, that Ohio State and Cincinnati have played, since Ohio State avoids their in-state rivals like the plague. So tonight, And we think this will be the first time in over 50 years. I stand to be corrected on that, but they hadn't played much. Mm. But since the Final Four in 1962 was the last time they played. There's also going to be an interesting little matchup of two teams that have been, that have won national titles a couple of times in the last few years, Michigan State and Louisville. Tomorrow night, speaking of Catholics and evangelicals, Baylor's playing Xavier. Baylor's been to the Final Four, but it's been an awful long time. Mm-hmm. Xavier has been, there have only been two other schools who have ever played in the tournament who have more than Xavier without reaching the Final Four, BYU and Missouri.
Right.
So it's not going to do any good because the winner of that game has got to play Kentucky or Indiana,
right,
who between them have won 12 national titles.
Well, I think we're going to have a chance to go back and look at some of this, how it's going before April 2nd, whenever the whole thing comes to a head. But
well, we'll actually look at the Final Four next week.
Sure, sure. But did you already pick a winner?
Well, yeah, I did, and there's alive and kicking. My little bracket that was filed and available for public inspection at ESPN, if you know my screen name,
yeah,
is Michigan State.
Well, I'll tell you this. Somebody else who works here did mention earlier today that yesterday, that one of his claims to fame right now is that he's in the top 1% of accurate brackets at ESPN as well. So
wow.
We'll have to
I'm
see.
Not.
We'll have to see. All right, Mr. Aiken, we do thank you so much.
We'll
Let's do
again.
This again. All right, this is your station, 88.9 KETR.